All right, griping, bickering, complaining, whining, pointing the fingers. Well, we dealt with a lot of that in government over the past 48 hours, seemingly. How about let me let you in on a story how government is supposed to work. Representative for District 28, which is where I live, Jeremy Schaefer joins now. Hi, Jeremy. How are you?
Hi, Colin. I'm doing very good. How are you doing?
Wonderful. Thank you so very much. I saw a news release come across my desk, and I said, this is how it's supposed to work. Exactly how it's supposed to work. People pay taxes, government operatives, so to speak, try to get grants, go to Harrisburg, go to other places. Then the money is recycled into the community. $1.25 million in this case from the gaming, economic development, tourism grants, and some other monies in through District 28. And what are some of the projects happening? Because, like I said, Jeremy, this is how government works. Am I right about that?
Yeah, that exactly right. And so, unfortunately, so much of what you read in the news or hear on radio or on TV, you tend to hear the bickering that rises to the top. But 90+% of what we do in Harrisburg really goes unseen and unreported most of the time. And a lot of it's really done in a bipartisan way, and that's something I'm striving to do. So, you know, I've been working hard at meeting with all the local fire departments, schools, municipalities, other nonprofits, and trying to figure out how we can help them make our communities even better. I'm privileged to represent a good chunk of the North Hills, and it's one of the best places to live in the world. And so we were able to secure, working in a bipartisan way with some of my neighboring state reps and state senators, over $1 million in grants, and they range from helping support many of our local fire departments. West Deer Volunteer Fire Department number 1 and 3 each got significant grants totaling combined almost $300,000. And then in Hampton Township, we're going to grants to help improve Hampton Community Park, which is a really popular community entity for people. And also EMS. We supported Hampton Shaler EMS. That's one where I worked with many of my colleagues, because Hampton Shaler EMS covers not only Hampton, but Shaler, Aetna area, and worked with a number of Democrats to help secure funding for that, and as well as McCandless Franklin Park. So when we work together, we can deliver real value and results to our communities.
Certainly, public safety, public response. I look on here and it's itemized. McCandless Franklin Park Ambulance Authority, replace an ambulance chassis. That's happening. Shaler Hampton EMS, a whole new ambulance for over $200,000. If we can't help the people in need in our communities, we got nothing, whether it's fire, EMS, police. And this is making taking a vested interest in helping the people who need help the most. Is that something you got into public service for?
Yeah, I did. I got started when I lived in Ross Township as a Ross Township commissioner. And one of the reasons was I just didn't think some of the local services were as efficient as they could be. And everything from just the playgrounds that the kids use and getting involved in local government really gave me a heart and a focus to how we can improve things that make our quality of life on a day-to-day basis better. And when I was a Ross commissioner, it wasn't to me about party. I ended up serving a term as the president of the board on Ross, and that was when the Democrats, they had a majority. So we worked together across party lines to try to deliver good services. And in Harrisburg, I'm a member of what's called the Meet in the Middle Caucus, which is made up of Democrats and Republicans that want to work together to get things done. And we try to solve. There are so many things that can be done in our community, from getting grants and for the library, for example. I'm a big supporter of libraries. That can really improve the way that our kids, our seniors, and really everyone in the community is able to experience life and quality of life.
You know, we talk about this sometimes, and during an election cycle especially, Jeremy, and it's this. It's, well, you know, we talk about the presidential election or maybe even the governor, but down-ballot elections or local elections, so to speak, they impact you most. They're the people that are going to get your roads plowed. They're the people that are going to get the police to your house. They're the people who are going to decide the curriculum at your school, and you're a product of that. Is that stated enough, do you think?
No, unfortunately, I think it's people, some of the lowest turnout elections tend to be those local elections. and some of the lowest information elections. People, a lot of times, they don't know anything about their individual supervisor, or commissioner, or their state rep, or school board members, and they unfortunately a lot of times just go and vote for the party. I'd encourage everyone to really look at what the individual stands for, regardless of the party, and try to find people that they think will best work for the good of the community.
Another thing in this grant, in full disclosure, my wife and my son volunteer there every week. Every Saturday they go out there, or just about every Saturday. The Poppin' Tags Free Store in West Deer. They make their way out there. It's a fantastic place. We've, you know, really tried to help them out. In this time, particularly from an economy standpoint, what you've done with this grant is acquired a couple properties, allowed this free store to keep pushing forward. That being said, how important is something like that in a community?
Oh, that's just a game changer, Colin. And let me, I really didn't know anything about the Poppin' Tags Free Store. I'd heard the name, but didn't know anything about it when I became a state rep. And as part of my trying to, and I got elected just over a year ago as a state rep, I really reached out to all the different community organizations. And I went and I took a tour of the Poppin' Tags Free Store shortly after I got elected. And it really was amazing to me, the number of volunteers that they have, the passion that that they have in delivering services, from just free goods to tutoring, so many other things to help the community. And they do it on a shoestring budget. And so I sat down with them. I asked them what we could do to help. And it became very apparent that a grant, they have two buildings there, and that they had been renting. They've been trying to renovate with volunteers. And by getting them a state grant, it could be a game changer that would really benefit thousands of people in our community. And that was one of the ones, the Poppin' Tags Free Store, that I really fought hard for, and was very pleased that they were able to, that was $250,000 that we were able to get them.
Last things for you, at the very upper reaches, of course, it's well publicized, the volatile rhetoric and the talk and the way people go back and forth, does it reach your level, and how do we make sure to come together as a country and as a society and as people in bipartisan form and try to forget about all of that?
Yes, unfortunately, it's permeated all the way through the system, and it's something that I think I just try to, I tell my wife and my kids, because sometimes it gets to them more than it gets to me, to be honest with you. But it's I always say it's like water off a duck's back. If you ever seen a drop of water hit a duck's back, they got that oily feathers and it just rolls right off. And I think you just need to rise above it. You need to turn the other cheek. And we really need to work together for the good of our communities and our country. And I think this is also where the voters need to hold people accountable. It is very easy for politicians of both parties to divide and to throw sort of a grenade into the room on a lightning issue. But I think voters need to reward people who are more of the workhorses, not the show horses out there. And because there's a lot of work that can be done for good. And that's something that I know there's good people in both parties that are trying to do that.
Jeremy Schaefer, great, great stuff. Appreciate it as always. We'll catch up again soon. Have a wonderful weekend.
Thank you. You too, Colin.
Absolutely. Really good stuff. That's the kind of grassroots, hometown level, in your own neighborhood, stuff that gets done. You know, $1.25 million grant, and he's going to turn it right around to brick and mortar things and community upgrades, stuff like that. We don't talk about that enough. Talk about the bickering, and I'm guilty of it. Talk about the bickering because it sells, and it's salacious, and it's sexy. But guy got a new ambulance. That's coming to your house if you get sick. If you cut your arm, you do this. That's showing up. That's infrastructure. That's what politicians are supposed to do. Great, great stuff. Trump saying, I met with a man who's a very rational person on Mamdani. And Gloria Pazmino reporting, I'm at a bit of a loss for words. I won't lie. So Trump met with Mamdani. They appeared to have a ton of mutual respect for one another, and they had a productive meeting. Mamdani's about to get the Fetterman treatment from the left in 5, 4, 3, 2. Oh, you watch. It's coming tonight. Oh, my God. I love this, that Trump and Mamdani got along. Wow. Trump just kind of complicated the whole let's make him the boogeyman ahead of the midterm strategy. It's serious news. And this is not good. So Andy Lindberg summoned me into the main newsroom, right? And when he does that, one of two things is happening. We're either going to tell each other a terrible joke or there's serious news. Well, the serious news is this, that Chris DeLuzio's office, Channel 4 is reporting, apparently had some sort of threat to it today, a credible threat, which is no laughing matter at all, which I hope they get to the bottom of. I'll say this, and I said this earlier in the show, with all of this kind of stuff, it 100% cannot be tolerated. DeLuzio said this to Larry a little earlier today.
I'm one of the people targeted here for murder, and I've certainly gotten lots of death threats as a result of what the president has said.
You can debate the merits of if he's truly targeted for murder or not. What you cannot debate the merits of is this. Any lunatic, idiot, jerk, that takes something to a level in which they put someone's safety in jeopardy should be remanded to custody, taken into custody, put in the Allegheny County Jail, and charged and convicted of the highest order in this country. Particularly, well, if with anybody, but especially if it's an elected official. It's nothing to joke around about, and it's nothing that we should take lightly. If they can find the person or people responsible for such an action, swift justice and stern justice. We can't fool around with this. And that's truly bipartisan. It doesn't matter what side you're on. It doesn't matter who you agree with or who you disagree with. If you think that the 6 Democrats were out of their mind in what they put out there in that video, or if you think that they are absolutely spot on in what they put in that video. This threatening people with violence, death threats, things like that, is no laughing matter and should 100% be taken seriously. Now, when he said that to Larry today, I was listening live, and I said, that's a pretty heavy accusation. And Chris DeLuzio went to Annapolis. He's a Naval Academy guy. I don't think he's lying. If that is the case, the authorities should be summoned immediately, and people should be working on trying to figure out exactly who is threatening him. And those people should be not just taken into custody, walk their ass in front of the cameras, expose them, and let the world know who they are. That stuff just can't happen because this political climate is so insane right now. You have people truly believing that they're in some sort of army because they have an R or a D next to their name. And it's insane. It's when people say, well, you know, we're getting close to a civil war. Part of me thinks they're total lunatics for saying it. Part of me wonders if maybe they're on to something. And maybe just maybe something like this Trump and Mamdani meeting could go to quell that a little bit. 866-391-1020. 866-391-1020. I heard somebody on the station earlier today, and they had some travel plans that were kind of atypical. I'm here to tell this buckaroo they're probably not going to work. You'll hear in just a little bit. Two-day work week for me next week. I'm off Wednesday, Thursday, Friday during the work week. Then I got the weekend after that. Not that I'm looking forward to it, but yeah. 866-391-1020. Trump Mamdani, something else.
I think both President Trump and I, we are very clear about our positions and our views. And what I really appreciate about the president is that the meeting that we had focused not on places of disagreement, which there are many, and also focused on the shared purpose that we have in serving New Yorkers.
Wow, these guys are getting along.
And I can tell you some of my views have changed. And we had discussions on some things. I'm not going to discuss what they were, but that I feel very confident that he can do a very good job.
Whoa, you talk about a surprise. That's it. Anyway, 866-391-1020. Top of the hour, Jeff Hathorn. We get our football fix, that's for sure. So we'll talk to him about some things. And right now, let's talk to Leland. Leland's on the road. Hi, Leland.
How you doing, Colin?
I'm good. Thank
hey,
you.
Margo does an amazing job of spitting out all that traffic report in that little bit amount of time that she gets. She gives everybody really good information, so I don't know what that guy's problem was.
That guy just wanted to be a jerk, and he was going to be a jerk to whoever picked up the phone, and I won't stand for any jerkery toward Margo, that's for sure.
Absolutely, absolutely. But, you know, you're talking about the political thing. It's one side's pointing fingers at the other, and I follow along the lines with you, with your views a lot, because I'm in the middle. I see some on one side that's good and bad and on the other side, and then I make my own personal decision. And you have one side that'll sit there and they'll scream about, you know, about they're doing something, and then the crazy people get involved. And we do have freedom of speech, but that doesn't mean freedom from consequences. And I'm 100% with you. It should not have any type of violence or anything like that. But some people really need to start thinking before they speak, because they just blurt it out because, oh, I'm allowed to say it. And then nobody's allowed to have any kind of rapport against that. It's like you have to follow them and be okay with it. But then they come back with, you're not allowed to say what you want because I'm not okay with it.
Yeah, it's a wild scene. You know what's going to be interesting is the left's reaction to Mamdani seemingly not hating Trump. That is going to be really interesting to me. If they take it in stride and if they go forward with it. Same thing with the far right. What they think of Trump warming to Mamdani. Like, that's big news today. It just is. Paul's in Laura Borough. Hi, Paul.
Hi, Colin. Great job. I'm going to miss you next week, my wife and I and family.
Well, just hope I'll be here Monday and Tuesday. Are you going somewhere?
No. I'm here at the White House. I'm staying right here at home.
Gotcha.
Right here. Well, listen, I just want to digress about illegal and unlawful orders.
Sure.
I want to go back to 1990 when George H.W. Bush, I know that April Gladsby gave Iraq the go-ahead to attack Kuwait. Then they reversed it and then attacked Iraq over the, made it a desert storm, and it was a yellow cake. And there was nothing found.
Now, she also said that Saddam had lied to her by denying he would invade Kuwait, right?
Yes, that's true.
But, which, that's still convoluted to me.
Same here. I'm telling you, I didn't serve it. I was, of course, that's before my time. But I remember it vividly. I was working at the post office, and the post office gave us pins as civil service, mm-hmm, to recognize the Desert Storm. But the whole shebang is such a shame against the American people. It's unconscionable.
Well, here's what
anyhow,
I don't
you
like.
You do a great job. God bless you and your family. Happy Thanksgiving. And Margo, my wife and I love your voice. Keep doing it.
Margo's a star. I mean, she is. She's the star. Pretty soon she's going to have her own show. She'll be national. She'll be somewhere else. We'll remember when she worked in Pittsburgh, when she's in Los Angeles or New York or somewhere else. It's just, she's going to be like Joe Manganiello. Remember when he used to live in Pittsburgh and do stuff around here? Christina Aguilera. That's going to be Margo. It just is. Everybody, she is the star. Anyway, 866-391-1020 is that number. I heard this report earlier. David Bolorato infused it into one of his updates about around midday or so. And it was one of these things where I think this guy might be a little bit naive. Now, he's talking about heading home for the holidays. No place like home for the holidays, right? And the method in which he's going to, he thinks, arrive on time. I got some news for him.
The railroad says 1.2 million holiday travelers will use its service. Loyola University student Topher Royce is headed home on Amtrak after he had a bad airline experience a few weeks ago.
It was a mess, a lot of delays, so I think Amtrak's definitely the way to go.
2025 has been a banner year for Amtrak. It just closed its fiscal year with record ridership and record revenue. Amtrak still doesn't make money, but its operating loss of $600 million was a 15% improvement from a year ago. Michael Wallace, CBS News.
Thank you, Michael, as always. So, I really wish that train travel would be better in this country. My son loves trains. We've traveled extensively on trains throughout this country. Do you know that long-haul trains, more than like 5 hours, have a less than 50% on-time rate in this country? If that sweet kid from Loyola thinks he's going to get there any better on this train, I hope he's only going a stop or two, because it's just the need to yield to freight traffic is just insurmountable in terms of being on time here. Train traffic to and from Pittsburgh, for context, hits at about between 68 and 71% on time. To and from Pittsburgh. Trains coming through Pittsburgh. Anywhere between 68 and 71% of them are on time. It would be a great fix if we didn't have to rely on yielding to freight trains, which they do. Freight train gets the right of way. And if there was more high-speed rail. I say this all the time. But topography in many parts of our country make it impossible. So there's that. There, from an investment standpoint, it does. There's not necessarily a return on investment. You see how much they lose. But it may never work because of how many people fly, how big our country is, and the attention that flatly's not paid to it. But the biggest thing is that when they're slugging or lugging coal somewhere, or cars somewhere, or goods somewhere, or any freight anywhere, your Amtrak needs to pull over. And that freight train has the right of way. Sometimes you sit there for 5 minutes. Sometimes you sit there for 40 minutes. But it all adds up, and you rarely make up the time. And that's what's problematic. Amtrak's great, especially if you get one of those sleeper cars. It's a lot of fun. But if you need to be somewhere expeditiously and you're counting on getting there when it says you're going to get there, I got news for you. A lot of times you don't. It's a great leisurely way to travel. It's not a great on-time way to travel. Just not. Jeff Hathorn, top of the hour. Oh, and then a little bit of bonus football talk, too, in through the 5 o'clock hours. There's a big event at, I almost said Heinz Field. It's the same place. There's a big event there tomorrow. So Margo gave an update, and there was a wreck or traffic condition or whatever at Red Fox Lane or something like that and Hemlock Hollow Road in Fox Chapel. And I'm like, hell's that? I know every road because it's where I went to high school. And, you know, we just know every road outside of the new ones that they've built in the past, I don't know, 15 years or so, where there's new developments and a couple new houses off of Fairview Road and stuff. I know every road. Where is that? Hemlock Hollow. What? Oh, that's right. Then I looked it up on the map. That's Squaw Run Road, but they're not allowed to call it Squaw Run Road anymore. There we are. I'm like, what is going on? That still is one of the most ludicrous things in history. It just is. Squaw Run Park. Nope, not allowed to call it that anymore. Squaw Run Road. Shh, no, it's Hemlock Hollow. What about Squaw East? No, we're changing that. No, not allowed. Hemlock Hollow. It was Squaw Run Road forever. Forever. For hundreds of years. Then Mandy Steele decided she didn't like it anymore. And so now it's called Hemlock Hollow Road. So I had to look at a map to see where this wreck was. Hemlock Hollow. Get out of here. Anyway, 866-391-1020. That's 866-391-1020. Because I'm thinking, did Margo get the township wrong? Hemlock Hollow. Wrong. Squaw Run. I'm a holdout for that, by the way. Forever. It's Squaw Park, Squaw Run Road, Squaw East, all of it. You ain't changing me. I don't think any people are going to come arrest me. So I just had to get that off my chest. I did. And I mean no ill will to our American Indian brethren, because I don't think they're mad about it. So anyhow, let me let you in on something. I have a confession to make. Thanksgiving dinner's not my thing. I'm not a big turkey and stuffing and all that kind of stuff. But I wish I would have admitted as such earlier and unburdened myself. For years and years and years, I went along with, oh yeah, it's good, it's tradition, it's what we're supposed to do, whatever. And maybe about, I don't know, a couple years before the pandemic, maybe like 2017 or 18, my wife and I were like, hey, do you really like this? She's like, eh, it's okay. She's like, do you really like it? I'm like, eh, I'm not real big like turkey guy. What do you want to do? And she's like, are we only eating this because, you know, the Mayflower and stuff like that, Plymouth Rock and everything? And I, yeah, pretty much. She goes, well, that's kind of a dumb reason. Why don't we just get what we like? So we get a spiral ham many times, or we get a little small like turkey breast as opposed to the big thick turkey. And we get different sides of things that we like. And that's great. I wonder how many people in this country force them. They don't really love it, but they eat it out of tradition. And I'm going to give you some advice, some sage advice. If you can break out of that, you unburden yourself. You feel a lot better about it. You're like, oh, it's okay, I promise. I swear, it'll be fine. Nobody's going to show up in Nina the Pinta or the Santa Maria or anything and, you know, make you walk the plank or kidnap you or take you back somewhere. It'll be fine. It'll be totally fine. And it takes away that whole, I'm going to bake all day, cook all day, do all this stuff all day. And then you sit down at dinner and you're like, eh, even though this is wonderfully prepared, it's just not my thing. You can get past that in life. I promise. And if you need any counseling as to it, you can call me, 866-391-1020. That's 866-391-1020.